And you should know it, especially this word, if you were with us last week. Because last week I gave you an overview of how what the gospel is and how we share it. Can anyone remember any of that?
I'm doing a talk on Sunday to the gospel.
TFG.
Yeah, TFG twice.
TFG twice. And what did the T, the F, and the G stand for?
Thanksgiving.
No. Thanksgiving, forgiving, giving, no.
Oh, that was ages
ago. The last
ago.
One was good news.
Togetherness.
Who was actually here last week?
Trinity.
I was.
Do I just do the same thing? Wait, okay. Rob, can you remember what the share the know the gospel was? It was three words.
TFG.
Teach.
It was a mnemonic.
Truth.
Forgiveness.
F.
Fellowship.
Following.
Follow.
Go.
Go.
Grow.
Grow. Truth, follow, and grow. Well remembered. And for share the gospel, it was...
Tell. Teach.
Oh, D was gossip.
Think.
Things.
Be full, and gossip. But today we're just going to concentrate on the first of those six words. And the first of those six words is truth. And we've already read one passage where the word truth came into it. What did we read?
I am the way,
the truth, and the life.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the more I've thought about the gospel, the more I've realised that truth is such an important part of what we have. A, that the gospel is true, the good news is true, the Bible is true, but also that we have to be people of truth. Okay? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what do you think he means when he says, I am the truth? Or, to give it more emphasis, the truth.
Nothing else is true.
Nothing else is true. Whoa, hang on a minute. Are we saying that everything that is not Jesus is not true?
Everything
that's
not in Jesus.
Exactly, so let's unpack it. He is the truth.
Jesus is talking about like the real truth, not an earthly truth. It's like a spiritual truth, so it's like in a different realm to earthly things. So
okay.
He can only be the truth. He can be the only truth.
He can be the only ultimate truth. Yeah? I think so. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is just, think on these things. Think on the things that are true. Truth is such an important thing. The Bible is full of telling us to be thinking on truth, to be meditating on truth, to be thinking about Jesus. Jesus says, I am the truth. So, if Jesus is the truth, what are the things that aren't true? Tell me things.
The devil.
The devil isn't true. Everything about the devil is false. He is a false person in the sense that he cannot have any truth in him. He is completely opposite to truth.
But doesn't he a lot of the time mix his lies up with truth? You know, trick of the good lies and false
truth. Earthly truth.
He mixes his lies up with truth, but as soon as you mix a little lie in with any truth, you've no longer got truth.
That's
truth cool. Is an ultimately clear thing. And as soon as you put something in it that distorts it, you're misleading people. Okay? And why am I putting truth as the most important thing about knowing the gospel? Because it's Jesus. Because he is
true.
The truth. And because... we've got to really know that we know that we know that we know that the gospel is true. And I think we have to expand that even more, and we know that the Bible is true. John chapter 1 starts with the following words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing that was made that wasn't made through him. Genesis chapter 1 begins with the words, in the beginning was God. Why does John reflect what Genesis says? If John is about the Word, who is Jesus, and in 14 it says he is the truth, why is that echoing Genesis unless Genesis is also true? Because it's actually saying, look, this is obviously based on Genesis, and this is about the truth, and this is truth, So Genesis must be true. Genesis can't be a pack of stories that are made up. Genesis must be truth. And in fact, it's really saying, therefore, the whole of Scripture is true. Now, Christians have spent the last 150 years debating whether that's the case. There are many people over the last 150 years who have said, it's not true. It's not all true. But I think Scripture shouts at you and says, this is truth. Build your life upon it.
Well, when you say this is truth, for example, the main one, the obvious one, is the whole creationism versus the rest of it. So when you say this is the truth, do you mean this is the truth literally? Do you mean, you know, because I mean, I personally wouldn't describe myself as a creationist. I'm sure Simon's not here. But, I believe, because I don't believe that actually definitely says it in that sort of way. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm getting at?
I know what you might be getting at, but I don't know exactly what you're getting at, because everybody that says what you've just said, everybody that says it means something different.
As in, I believe God made the world, blah, blah, blah. Don't necessarily believe that it was in set Great War hour periods, sort of thing. Nothing I believe would contradict in that. I don't really care too much, but I mean, I'm just kidding.
Let's take an example. In the Bible, there is a story of the prodigal son, or the lost son, as it says in more modern translations. And that is truth, but actually it probably didn't happen. The actual story may not be factually true, but the story is truth. Jesus said, I am about to tell you a story. So we know it's not necessarily an actual event, although it may have been. We just, you know, there's nothing to say yes or no.
And it's true to say that it's a story.
It's true, it's a story. But the truth of it, the teaching from it, is a truth that, of the kingdom that God wants us to know. Now, there are a number of places where it says this is a story, mostly when Jesus says he's telling parables. But the truth is the teaching and what we learn from it. Okay? So the first thing we mean when we say the Bible is true is the teaching. If you go from Genesis chapter 12 onwards, I would argue incredibly strongly that everything that says it happened, happened. Unless it says, hang on, I'm telling you a story, which is normally only the parables. Okay? And every time they've ever doubted it, and they've then dug up some archaeological evidence, they've said, oh, that's in the Bible, that is. It must be true after all. The only bit that's not verifiable in that way, archaeologically really, is the stuff before Genesis 11, because it's the stuff before archaeology really refers to, before the flood. Okay, it's a prehistoric time, and that means prehistory, means prehistory being able to do anything about it. But my argument would be, if chapter 12 of Genesis all the way to chapter 22 of Revelation is historically accurate, then I think we should say that there is something very odd if the first 11 chapters are not historically accurate as well. But that doesn't mean you can definitely say it was done in 24-hour periods, because there are scientists who say, actually, it looks like the speed of light is slowing down and or speeding up or something, I can't remember, whichever way it means, that it could be a case in the past when one day took what we might call 1,000 years. Whatever. So, and science, and we'll never come to a conclusive conclusion about that, because science only looks at repeatable events, and this is not a repeatable event. So they can only make hypotheses as well. But when we say we believe it's true, you have to be able to say, look, I know God created. I know God created, and I know, from what it says here, that humanity is the reason God created. And I know that we are the purpose of the creation. Because that's what Genesis says. And I think you need to get to a point where you can believe that, at the very least. But creation, etc. aside, then this is true. Can everyone, you know, do you feel that's true? Are you prepared to say it's true? Are you prepared to stand in court and declare this is true?
I'll quote you on that one, Jeff.
What?
Creation, etc. aside, this is true.
Just explain.
No, I'll quote you the quote. I'll
fill
my quote.
I fully believe in creation. And I would much rather believe what Genesis says than what any scientist says.
I'm happy I'm talking.
By not asking you to make that leap tonight. For you, the question is, regarding that, putting that bit to a side, would you say the rest of it was true?
Yes.
Okay. And maybe some of you would say the creation bit is true as well. Although there's a truth there. Because God is true. And he wants us to know that this is true. And know that the promises in it are true. Now that's a bigger question. Do you stake your life on what it says here? For instance, it says, give and it will be given back to you. Do you stake your life believing that, you know, God calls you to give into his work and he will provide for you? Or do you think, no, I've got to go on the dole, get a job, go and beg off my mummy, get money that way? Do you trust God to provide for you? What about St. Paul, for instance, when he was shipwrecked on Malta? He was a prisoner, he was captive, shipwrecked on Malta. They built a bonfire. Out of the bonfire, because it was trying to escape from the growing flames, leaps a snake, sticks its fangs into Paul's arm, and they all say, that's it, Paul, you're about to drop dead. And he said, no, I believe in the Lord Jesus' power. And he trusted God to heal him, and he didn't die. How much do you believe that God would look after you?
Lots.
But have you ever tested it?
No.
And how do we get to, I mean, I'm not saying we should put ourselves in positions where we test it, that sort of thing, but we should test
God's
what
Bible
we have
also
got.
Says don't test God, doesn't it?
It says don't test God, but that means don't deliberately put yourself into positions where you're going to jump off a cliff and say, oh God, catch me.
Yeah, yeah,
but it does say also, put me to the, you know, try out my promises and test me and see, taste and see is what it says, and show, discover that my word is true.
Or sheepskin thing outside in the rain.
The fleece, yeah. Yeah.
What was that?
Gideon's fleece.
No.
Now that's not testing God. That's, he believed God was talking to him, but he said, God, I need to be a little bit more sure. That's not testing God. Testing God is saying, hey God, catch me. I'm going to do something stupid. You sort it out. Well, that's not meant to happen. No. Okay. Truth. Let's look at truth another way. You are convinced that Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way. How would you go about convincing someone else? How convinced are you?
Not convinced, it's faith, I think.
Uh-huh.
So you can convince them to have faith, perhaps.
You
argue
can't convince that someone to have faith. You can't
we can, because you can argue the value of faith, can't you?
People still, like most people, want to believe in something concrete, and if you're talking about something like really theoretical, like an emotion that I have, people
can show
like,
them the values and the benefits and how it helps, but you can't
is that a question
force
you
them into it.
You can do.
I think you can teach people what it means to have faith, yes. Or you can convince people of it, yes.
Oh, I'm not like debating like the existence of faith, I'm debating like
neither am I.
Okay.
You said you can't convince people to have faith because it's something that
is
that's emotional. Yeah.
Something that they
I think
you can
prove
probably
that
convince someone,
it,
but it's well, it's not have much basis. It wouldn't stand much. But if it's God that changes them, it's more likely.
But if you're taking a person who doesn't have any faith and you tell them why faith's important,
yeah,
that's
but
the
point.
You
can
show them what faith is and how it's important and how it's beneficial.
We're arguing your account of what it is, but it could be something.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, yeah, but I mean, I'm assuming they're starting with nothing. Oh yeah, I
but no, like faith's not a concept that like I'm trying, like I'm saying that like people don't know about, like everyone knows what faith is.
Mm.
But you have to like, for someone to have their own faith.
They have to discover it for themselves.
Yeah, I can't give that to someone.
But,
yeah.
No, but
no,
you
agree.
Can,
agree
a lot of time there are ways, for example, if I stood up and performed, you know, and had fishes flying around the room from nothing, I don't know why I thought of that. You know, by some act of God, so I clicked my finger and fishes flew. Like, you know, it would be a miracle sort of thing. It would be a weird miracle.
Unless you were in the Baring household. But carry on.
What? But, so, I mean, if someone healed someone or something, obviously in front of someone, those are kind of acts that encourage faith and create faith and build up faith. So although faith is not something that can be forced upon someone, you yourself can, you know, encourage or create faith in a lot of situations.
Okay.
During our Alpha course last year, and we were running again this year. We had one of our girls, Alina, she came to some of our Alpha sessions, and the one about miracles, and I don't know when that is, like quite late on in the Alpha thing, and she was like, I don't believe in God because, you know, unless God performs 3 miracles for me, I'm not believing in God. And it's like, okay, then what do you want God to do? She's like, well, I want an elephant. And then, like, she turned around and there was an elephant, like a teddy bear, like just there. And it wasn't, like, ever there before, because it's not something that ever existed in our church, was a teddy bear elephant. But then it was there. And then she was like, well, then I want God to do that. And, like, it continually happened. And she just, like, don't believe in God, don't believe in God. And it was like, and
that's
she's,
3.
I know. And she's got the elephant on her wall now. But still not quite there.
How much do people want? I mean, it's just like...
Jesus said, if they don't believe in Moses and the prophets, they won't be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. I mean, miracles don't actually convince people that God is God and truth is truth.
Are miracles like a promise for people who have faith rather than a way of proving it?
Yeah.
It's a sign for those who already believe. It's an encouragement.
Miracles don't, like,
it was really
encourage people
like
to get that first step.
Yeah.
They just get other people to believe.
But the
people always just gonna find another explanation. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, carry on.
I think Alina did that, whereas we didn't. We were just like, "Wow, there's an elephant."
Yeah, because it was encouraging you in your faith.
Yeah.
Whereas,
The reason I'm asking you to think about this is because it is so important to know it is truth, and to fill your mind with it, to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. And you need to be set free if you're ever going to set anyone else free. If you're going to be a fisher of men, if you're going to be someone who is able to set other people free, you've got to be no chains around you yourself. Because people aren't going to come to you and say, oh, you know, I need to be set free, if they can see that you're every bit as caught up in the life's mess as they are. We need to be set free. And that, I don't know that we are set free yet. I don't know that we have reached that understanding of what it means to be free at last. Free at last. I thank God Almighty, I'm free at last, as someone once famously said. And in order to know the truth, you've really got, and this is the key, not just to sharing the gospel, but to everything, you've really got to know God's word. So that you know what he says, and you know him, and you know what it is in here, so you don't get stumbled out when someone says, ah, yeah, but doesn't it somewhere say in the Bible this? And you think, I don't know whether it says it or not. If you know the word of God, you know, actually, that doesn't fit. That can't be in the Bible. And you can say with authority, no, it doesn't say that. But if you don't know it, you don't know how to talk about it. So you have to know the truth and to know what God is saying and what he is about. And if we're ever going to be free, we have to not only know it as sort of the way you might know a bit of Shakespeare, but you have to know it because you start experiencing it. And where there are promises, you start claiming them and you start living them. And where there's commands, you start obeying them. And that will be what makes you free. But the second bit about truth is that you have to be a person of truth yourself. There should be no deceit in you at all. And I have had 3 conversations with, might be 2, I don't want to deceive you. I've had several conversations with people who are Christians in the last 2 weeks where they were clearly lying. And that isn't good. Because if the person of Jesus is in them, how can they lie? How can they mix truth with the lie? Because the Bible says the father of lies is Satan. We need to be people who will refuse to lie. And if we do find ourselves lying, we need to be people who are prepared to go up. And this is the really difficult bit. and say, I told you a lie, I'm sorry, this is the truth. And that, A, will have an impact actually doing the latter if we ever do it, but I don't encourage you to lie just so you can go up and say 5 minutes later, I'm sorry, I told you a lie. But we need to know the truth, and we need to be the truth, and we need to speak the truth, even at cost to ourselves, if we're going to be real bringers of the gospel. Because as soon as you start mixing truth with a lie, the whole thing is no longer truth. It has to be clarity. It has to be clearly truth. So knowing the truth, living the truth, and always speaking the truth, I think, are the first key things to knowing the gospel and then being able to share the gospel with other people. And all of those things are big things. Spending time in the Word to know it. Believing it. Even the tough bits. Even the bit when the donkey says, stop trying, why are you hitting me, oh my master? Even the bit where the snake says, why don't you eat this fruit? Even the bit where...
Where does the donkey say something?
Numbers.
It's not that unbelievable. We've had this before. There's a parrot with a vocabulary of 150 words.
My goodness, that's more than you.
And you only need 200 words, a vocabulary of 200 words to read most English books.
Yes. But a parrot with a vocabulary of words is not the same as an intelligent being able to have a conversation.
Really?
If you put a like picture in front of him...
Yeah, I can't speak.
It would say apple. Yeah, but that's... If one's too long...
Yeah. Is that true?
Interesting.
Well, you're so wise.
Thanks.
I'll discuss that with you at the end.
How we know where that came from.
The BBC website.
So, meanwhile, back in Scripture, it is important to know it. Three chapters a day, you get through virtually the whole Bible in a year. You would begin to get to know it. You'd get to know the flavour of it.
10 years, you'd know it pretty well.
10 years, you'd know it pretty well. 100 chapters a day, you'd get through it in a month.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
I'm joking. How many chapters in the Bible? Psalm 118, verse 8. Hang on, let's get this right. Am I right?
No, that's not right, because Psalms are...
Yeah, but there's a mathematical formula you can do, which will tell you it if you know from
118,
verse 8.
Mr. Palfman teaching
that. No, Genesis.
Psalm 118, verse 8, I believe, is the middle verse of the Bible.
Oh, yeah, this is
quite 118, good. Verse 8. There, I can't find Psalm 118 for the life of me. There it is. Which says...
Psalm 108.8.
118, verse 8, says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. 118, verse 8. There are 1188 chapters before it, and there are 1188 chapters after Psalm 118.
Did you know that?
And 118 is the middle verse. 1188 chapters before Psalm 118, 1188 chapters after Psalm 118, and 1188, Psalm 118, verse 8, says it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. That's the middle verse of the Bible.
Why do you have to find verses?
How many verses are there?
Because that reminded me what the figures were.
How many chapters are there?
1188.
1188 plus 1188 plus 1.
It's not 1188, it's
118.
Don't worry about it, Joel. I'll explain it to you sometime.
meanwhile,
back at the truth.
Just stop saying that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at the truth.
You mean there's 11,118 verses before?
That's what he said.
1,188.
Chapters.
Chapters.
Oh.
Okay, I got you.
Okay, may the Lord
That's
be blessed.
That's why it's better to trust in the Lord than to the man.
Joel got mad.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
What are we going to do about knowing the truth more?
I would never murk anybody.
What are we going to do about knowing the truth more?
Know it. Learn it.
to read the Bible regularly.
Read the Bible regularly.
Discuss.
Go to the gym.
Listen to the tape by Stephen Fry.
Listen to the Bible. Read the Bible more.
The Bible read by
Go on, that's
Fry.
Not enough.
That's such a twirly.
Pray and fellowship with other Christians and be great.
Pray fellowship with the Lord. Pray fellowship with other Christians. That's still not enough.
Yes, it is.
Spend time with God.
Spending time with God, that's still not enough.
Using the truth to show others the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Still not enough.
Bible Give money to Jeff.
Come, Jesus.
Still not enough.
What?
Oh, I'm lost. I don't know.
What did we say? It's not just enough to read it and know it.
Living it out.
Living it
yeah.
out. Acting on what it says. Putting it into practice.
That's what I said.
That's the key. Okay? Because the truth, when you act it, will set you free.
It's an obvious thing, really, but it's hard, isn't it? Because you can read something and it'll say, I don't know if you, I can't think of an example, but you know, something where it's tells you what kind of the qualities you should have, maybe, and what God's promises are if you do that. And just reading it isn't going to bring that about. That's the point, isn't it?
Mm.
And you know, it's something you have to work at, I think. And I just think that the longer you go without spending time with God, whether that's spending time with God in terms of the Bible, in terms of just speaking to God, or whether it's in terms of time reading the Bible, the harder it is to kind of get back into doing, you know, or to actually live that truth properly. Because you forget how to do it, don't you? Or you forget, you know, it's not fresh in your mind, or I do it.
Or you just feel
one
guilty.
It's not fresh in my mind, sorry?
Or you just feel guilty.
Yeah, so therefore don't do it. But I mean, that's. I can't be the only one who feels that.
No, I agree.
You're all just more holy than me, perhaps.
Hallelujah, brother.
There's a great series of books, actually, which some of them are outside on the bookshelf. Which are Character and Charisma Bible Study Series, and they just take a character of the Bible, and the book just goes through and teaches you from that person's life. And I've just read the one on Samson, which I found mind-blowing. And they're very easy to read and very well written. And I would encourage you to either take one of those or take another book which helps you with the Bible and gives you some insight, because certainly with the prophets, for instance, you just read it and you have no idea what they're on about, because you don't know Israel history, you don't know the history of the Chaldean Empire and all the other things which those prophetic verses are referred to. But once you understand it in the context, you can see how God is using and working and speaking. And those are the tougher books to understand.
It's out of the Bronze Age.
Ah, there's a question. I don't know how the Bible times fit with the Stone Ages and Bronze Ages and various other ages, because I don't know the history well enough. But obviously,
timeline in some Bibles.
Yeah,
things.
But they don't normally have the Bronze Age and the Stone Age at the same.
Underneath the
and in any case, Bronze Age and Stone Age happened at different places at different times around the world, because it's still Bronze Age in some parts of the world now. So
that was the most advanced bit.
Yeah,
but I think I'm sure I've seen a Bible that does lay them.
Right.
I could be mistaken. I'll hunt it out. I've got it.
Might be one.
I think I've got one.
Okay.
I could be mistaken.
Well,
it could just be normal.
We will conclude this. This is obviously TFG, and before we started recording, we had some amazing revelations this evening about what people would and would not be embarrassed by, and some people in particular.
About Jeff taking
his
shirt off and
yeah.
standing
off. Those of you listening at home will not
yeah,
have that particular
Half of TFG weekend is going to be on topless.
Who actually listens to this?
Our poor Jeff pair of wife on.
How many people download it?
I'll lend you a pair.
If you download this, Joel would like to know that you do. So could you please email joel@pambakian.com.
It's joel@pambakian.com.
joel@pambakian.com. Do for a space.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
joel@pambakian.com. If you're listening now, email him.
Wicked
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Not nice.
You're gonna have to edit that now.
Did you just rewind that, Jeff?